Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to season two.
Well, it's a big change. It's entirely change. New.
It's season two.
Season two. This is Penn Sunday. It started just like that. The whole new world is here.
Just like the old days, though, right?
Just like the old days. Remember this? Then about now, they used to go, here we go.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School Season 2.
Season 2 starts today.
And I am Matt Donnelly. We're broadcasting straight from Reddy Rich's house. This week, we're looking at a brand new Penn Sunday School.
Brand new Penn.
But in a very old school way. We're looking at an old school throwback Penn in modern times. It's what we need.
But you know what we're still doing?
Preaching love.
We sure are.
Here he is preaching the love.
Preaching love on Sunday school. It's a whole new Sunday school. It's a whole new Sunday.
Yeah.
Totally new.
Yes.
There are going to be, and I know we got to talk to the Patreon people. Well, we're talking to them now.
We're talking to them right now.
We're talking to them right now. Because some people were sick of the ads,
mm-hmm.
and they became Patreon people.
Yeah,
and we're sick of the ads.
Yes,
so fuck the ads. I'll tell you, we would get a groove going.
Yeah,
we'd be talking, then I'd have to do ads, and for very good stuff. I mean, we were the only people. That's not true. We were people.
Yeah.
who were careful about what we advertised.
Yeah.
Remember, they used to write to me and say, yeah. "Do you want to advertise this hard-on pill that doesn't work?"
Yes,
and I'd go, "No."
Do you want to say, especially DNA-tailored vitamins?
Yeah. We wouldn't sell that shit. Even the stuff that was good that we sold, which was all good.
Yeah.
I just thought it's hurt the groove. So now we're starting a podcast. It's going to be season two.
Season two.
There's some changes for season two.
Yes.
Season one was how many shows?
927.
927 season one.
Yeah.
Season two is going to be 928. Season two, we got expanded a little bit. We expanded for season two.
It's going to take us a little longer to get there, though. Well, yeah. So when you first started joining different podcast networks, they all wanted you to do multiple episodes. When you first started the podcast, you liked doing one episode a little longer than the way the brand podcast companies wanted.
Way, way, way back. When I was doing radio.
Yeah.
They told me when I was doing the radio show that was going on in the Stern place on CBS.
Oh, yeah.
They once told me, it won't take you any longer to do 2 hours than it does to do one. Executives actually told me that. They really did. With a straight face. And I said, well, it'll take an hour longer. Minimum.
Not even in growth. I could have been dramatic and be like, it'll take me twice as long. Just matter of fact, cold science.
Yeah.
It'll take me an hour more.
Yeah. No. And, you know, they also were ignoring any prep, which is wise because there's no prep. But yeah, they did that to me on this. They said, we want two shows a week so we can sell twice as many ads.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally, it was a lot of arguing.
Yeah.
But I finally knuckled under. But it also meant that they wanted to do, when you do the shows in the middle of the ads, it makes it like it's four shows instead of one.
Yeah.
And all we really want to do is once a week we get together, we talk to folks.
Yeah.
And we have enough to talk about for one. So what we're trying to do from now on is to rely on the Patreon people.
Yeah. Basically, there's been a lot of shakeup in the podcast world and other higher profile people on our same network. You may have noticed they're saying they're taking a hiatus or no longer doing their podcast. Were it not for Patreon, we would be considering the same options, but we have a really great amount of people supporting us on Patreon.
Yeah, we're going to start doing more for the Patreon people.
Yeah.
I'll start sending more pictures, and we'll start doing those gangbangs. What do you call them?
Zoom hangs?
Zoom hangs, which I
generational call terms. We call it all different things.
Yeah. Zoom hangs. Zoom hangs?
Yeah. We just get them all, get on the Zoom and shoot the shit with you.
Talk to folks. Let them ask stuff. Because that was fun. We did that once for random.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I'm not going to complain about this at all. Because I don't, I do very well. And for me to complain, I think is tedious. But I made a deal with Skydance, which is a big hairy company.
Yeah.
You know, I asked them, I had a meeting with Skydance and I said, so what projects have you got coming out? And they said, the new Mission Impossible. Anything I might have heard of? They were talking about, you know, Tom, give him a call about what screens he's on and so on.
Yeah, actually, the phone rang. It said Tom Cruise, and they screened it because they were talking to you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I said, just so you know, I'm not taking this call because you're important to me, Ben.
Yeah. The ringtone was Mission Impossible in 4/4 time. Can you sing Mission Impossible 4/4 time, ready? I always have to work on it, but they did it on the first Mission Impossible movie.
The Edge version.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done. Dun, 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 dun. Wasn't that what it was?
I'll do the bass line. You can come over the top of it.
Okay.
Boo-doo, ba-doo, 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 boo-boo, boo-doo, ba-doo, 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 boo-boo, boo-doo,
ba-doo, ba-doo,
ba-doo, ba-doo.
Exactly. And I went to see the first Mission Impossible. Am I just saying, did I just say that I had this great employer that I really liked and now about to trash one of their products? Is that what actually just happened there? Is this where we're going into? This is why we can't have nice podcasts.
This is truly old school Penn Sunday School.
Yeah. I went to see the first Mission Impossible. Now, I loved Mission Impossible when it was on TV. And one of the things I loved the most about Mission Impossible was I had to explain to my parents what was happening. My parents never understood the Mission Impossible TV show. No, no, that's Roland Hand dressed up as a South American dictator. And he has a mask on. It looks like the same person that was the South American dictator. It is. But in the story, it's Roland Hand.
Yeah.
And that's Cinnamon, and she is trying to get the attention of the South American. But how do you know it's South America? Well, it isn't. It's a non-existent country.
It's a fictional country.
But that's where they have dictators. That was before we had them right here in the U.S. Mission Impossible would have, on TV, would have a field day. So I remember so fondly the way my parents' living room was set up. Was my dad had his chair in the back, my mom had her chair in the front, and I had the couch on the side on a long, skinny living room. It wasn't very long, but skinny living room. And I would lay on the couch there with my foot up on the coffee table, and I would explain Mission Impossible. So I went back to try to watch it, and it's terrible.
Ah.
The original TV show is terrible.
Right.
But I remembered it so, so fondly.
Yeah.
You know, times change and the pacing and the, you know, even the grass doesn't look real, right? So it's all shot in a back lot. And you know, you get sick of South American dictators. I mean, South America did. And so when the Mission Impossible came out, the original movie one, the original Tom Cruise Mission Impossible, I said to everybody, jokingly, well, the big change they're going to make is put the theme in 4/4 time. Because the theme was famously 5/4. Bum, 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 Lalo Schifrin, right? Schifrin, whatever.
He wrote it in 5/4 on purpose, or just that's the way he wrote it? No, because what is it? Everybody knows an example. What was it? Is it Halloween? The composer didn't know that he wrote it in a weird timestamp.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Terminator is not in 5, but nobody knows what it actually is. It's just wrong.
Well, you know, that song by Bob Dylan, Nettie Moore.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're back to old Sunday school when I talk about Bob Dylan. That song's in 11, and then it changes to 13 in the next verse, then goes back to 11, then goes to 9.
Who is that for?
I don't know. I don't think Bob Dylan is counting it.
Yeah.
He just comes in when he wants. But I believe Lalo Schifrin, let's do this in five.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, Take Five, Mission Impossible, and then you've got the beginning of White Room by Cream. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
Matt can't hear it anyway.
Yeah.
You dickhead.
So I said, jokingly, just as a gag, I said, they'll put it into 4-4. They'll round it off. Meaning they'll take what was interesting and vanilla it out. And I thought I was kidding. And then I predicted the future.
Yeah.
What if a reality host became president? We thought we were kidding. We weren't. But the Mission Impossible remain, actually, they do their job well.
Yeah.
You go to see a Mission Impossible movie, you're excited.
That's true.
It's not really his fault, by the way.
What?
His multi-tap delay doesn't work in five. The Edge.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember that The Edge did it.
Yep.
You know my thing about always calling people by their stage names?
Yes.
Okay, like I refer to Piff as Piff.
Yeah.
And, you know, my the porn people that I know, I refer to by their names. I don't say their names because they don't want to be associated with me. You know, when I call Handsome Jack Handsome, everybody else calls him Lovick.
Yeah.
I call him Handsome. And I like to do that, you know. I call Mac King Mac and not Curvin, whatever his first name is.
That's pretty universal, though. I think everyone calls him Mac.
Mac King. I feel really strongly about that. And I was really, really happy. A friend of mine on the new YouTube record, on the new U2 record, played part of the orchestra.
Oh, cool.
Backing them up. And she said that Bono says, hey, Edge, made me very happy.
Oh, man.
Yeah. How much would you hate it if I called Teller by his dead name, his first name? Would that be terrible?
It would be terrible. He would hate you, too.
He would. Oh, yeah. Well, he already hates me. I mean, there's no problem there.
Yeah, that'd be weird. And then it'd be weird for other people who are in the organization, too, because you got to go, like, do I...
But you always
graduate
know.
Graduate to that level?
We always know when a magician doesn't know Piff at all.
Yeah.
When they're totally oblivious to who Piff is.
Yeah.
They come back and go, hello, John.
Yeah.
I'm with the magic. I work with the magic member. You know.
He sincerely does not care. Like, I call him Piff all the time. And there's no, like, weirdness at all to that. He responds to that.
No. But when someone calls him John, it's always weird.
Yeah, basically.
Except for Jade.
Exactly.
Because Jade should call him John because I'm not sure you want to fuck someone called Piff.
Right. But that thing is like, it's almost like even out of respect for that. Like, I'm not on that level. I'll stay with Piff over here.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah.
And you know, when I was around Iggy Pop, I called him Iggy.
Yeah.
Others would call him Jim.
That's got to be weird.
Yeah. I call him Iggy.
Yeah. Like people who always talk about like casually know Robert De Niro, go like, oh, Bob, yeah. No, when Bob tells me this, I always say whatever. And it's not even Robert.
One exception to that was when Arthur Penn would talk about Dusty. It always made me smile. He didn't say Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, yeah.
He'd say Dusty. We were working on, Dusty did this and did that. That's kind of nice. Or when there's a total nickname that has nothing to do with anything, like Jonathan Richman.
Yeah.
His close friends call him JoJo.
Oh.
For like no reason you can tell.
That's nice. I'm just a first and last name guy. No one calls me shit. I'm not even just because there's so many Matts.
Yeah.
I'm always Matt Donnelly.
Yeah. You get more syllables out of people.
I do. I demand it.
Matt Donnelly demanding more syllables than others for over 30 years.
Teller one time was like, why do you go with the Mind Noodler when you're performing? Why not Matt Donnelly? It's a good name. I go, do you know how many Matt Donnellys there are out there? It's a ton.
Plenty of Matt Donnellys. But how many aren't firemen?
That's it. So I was performing, first time I was performing in Elkton, Maryland, this big billboard. They put up a billboard for me, which is great. And there also was a billboard saluting Sergeant Matt Donnelly retiring from the police force. Same week. Billboards within a mile of each other.
So I was on an MTV 4th of July cruise.
When was this?
I think it was like way back.
Yeah.
Way, way back, like the 80s.
Like when they did live events.
Yeah, yeah. Or like maybe it was the 90s.
So the fact that you said you weren't on Ridiculousness eliminates the last 10 years.
And we were on the boat.
Yeah.
Near the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And Dusty Hills, who was, we miss him. He was the bass player for ZZ Top,
mm-hmm.
who died a couple years ago, I guess. Dusty Hill was there. And Don Johnson. And it was Don Johnson, Dusty Hill, and me. There might have been someone else. We're standing there talking, waiting for our shots, going, oh, it's the Statue of Liberty. Isn't that far out? Whatever we're going to say. Whoa, look at those fireworks, man. That's rad. Look at those tubular fireworks. Whatever Don Johnson was going to say. Let's buck. Whatever he was going to say. And I'm about to tell you the only funny thing Don Johnson ever said.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I said, well, you know, my name's Penn Jillette. That's my actual name. And so, you know, I'm pretty much going to go into show business with the name Penn Jillette. And Dusty Hills said, well, you know, Dusty Hills, you're going to go into show business. And then Don Johnson said, and Don Johnson is a shipping clerk in St. Paul.
Yeah.
Don Johnson is not like a superstar name.
No. Yeah. And he had to. He can't even go. He has to be Don Johnson because it can't even be, you know, Johnson or whatever because everything was too common.
I mean, Johnson is what, the fifth most common name?
I think so.
Yeah. You know, Michael Jackson is the most common name. Like, Michael was the most common first name.
Yeah.
And Jackson is the most common last name.
Oh, right.
So that's, you could get that famous, Matt Donnelly,
Right.
All the others would just go, because, you know, there's like three radio hosts named Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And there's like tons of people named Michael Jackson, and yet there's only one Michael Jackson. So I think you're shooting too low, Matt Donnelly.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's a very convincing argument.
Very convincing argument. You could be the Matt Donnelly.
Okay.
So everybody else would go, yeah, that's my real name. I'm not named after that Matt Donnelly. That's my real name. No, I didn't change my name to be like Matt Donnelly. That was the name really? You were born Matt Donnelly. Yes. My parents named me Matt Donnelly. You weren't even named after him. No.
No.
No. After the superstar.
Would you consider changing your name to Jim Smith?
I will. Jim Smith, the mind noodler.
I'm not sure Jim Smith is more common than Matt Donnelly, is it?
It was at one point.
It was? Jim Smith was very common?
It was the number one name in the country. Hmm.
You're seeing more Pens nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
You used to be the only Pen.
But you know, I'm a little mad at Penn Badgley.
Yeah?
First of all, so good looking.
Yeah.
That bugs my ass a lot.
A good-looking Penn.
So, I mean, Penn should look goofy.
Yeah.
Penn should not be fucking hot. That's wrong. And Penn Badgley's wicked fucking hot.
Yeah.
And very talented. And I thought that maybe, because he's the right age, when he was born, I was on MTV with Don Johnson.
Right.
Yeah. Who's the shipping clerk in St. Paul.
Talking about how the tides were gnarly today.
Gnarly. Boy, there's some gnarly tides here as look at those rad fireworks. What do you think, Dusty? What about that Statue of Liberty? Has she got legs and knows how to use them? No, she does it because she's a statue. We'll be back with more after this.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I thought that, you know, he would say, I looked up how he got his name. Okay? And I thought Penn Badgley would have the decency to say, you know, there was this dipshit who was right on TV when I was born. And my parents liked the sound of the name.
It's some weird pickle thing at the Super Bowl I was watching.
He was an asshole. Yeah. I'm fine with that. Yeah. And then he could also say, is he dead now? I'd be fine with that, too. He does some shitty show in Vegas. I'd be great.
Yeah.
But he said, when they were looking at the ultrasound of me in the womb.
Yeah.
Now, I was not in Penn Badgley's mother's womb. I'm first person referring to Penn Badgley.
Okay.
Just, I don't want to start rumors.
You're in his mom's womb.
Yeah. I don't want to start that rumor.
Okay.
He was, so he claims. they were looking at the ultrasound, and his father was squeezing a tennis ball. And the tennis ball was a Penn tennis ball. And because he...
Boo!
Because he was squeezing that tennis ball, they said, let's name this, you know, little peanut on the ultrasound. Let's name him Tennis. Tennis Badgley.
Tennis Ball Badgley.
Tennis Ball Badgley. No, Ball Badgley.
Ball Badgley.
No, weird fluorescent orange yellow Badgley.
Serena Williams Badgley.
Yeah. No, they said Penn. His name could be Wilson. Wilson Badgley.
I know.
Wilson Badgley is not a bad name, by
the way. Could have been Fidget Spinner Badgley. Just in a different room.
He could have been a left breast Badgley. That would be the one to be closest to you during the ultrasound. But no, he's Penn Badgley. And I thought he would say, you know, my father was squeezing the tennis ball. They said the name Penn. Then we found out there was this dipshit on TV, also named Penn. And they considered changing it to Wilson, but said, no, we'll stick with Penn.
Oh, man.
Penn Badgley. So, yeah. So.
And his little sister, Bic Badgley.
Bic Badgley. Stop that clicking during the ultrasound. Stop clicking. Do pens still click anymore? I guess they don't.
They do. If you pay an extra buck, you know, you get the clicky ones.
I haven't used a pen. The next time I'll use a pen will be on Fool Us, which will be a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they got good pens on Fool Us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I got to check those out.
Oh, they're real. They write. I mean, I guess pens have gotten better. I mean, I started typing when I was 12.
Yeah.
And pretty much don't write other than to sign autographs, which is
a marker.
Big fat marker. But the pens now, they're so smooth and nice, and it just, the ink flows out. I always write very studiously in my notebook for Fool Us.
Yeah.
And the prop guy who replaced the notebook took the notebook back, looked at it and said, what the fuck is this?
Who can read this?
Yeah. And then when Teller had COVID, which I don't even know if we ever talked about, but Teller had COVID last season of Fool Us or the season before?
Last season of Fool Us, I think.
He had COVID.
He had COVID in the middle there.
So I had to do 2 days alone.
Yes.
So they were going to fill in shots of Teller as though he was there. You can't even tell, can you?
You can't.
As though he was there. And then they said, do the same bust you did with Teller sitting there. So we're not going to have the act. I did the bust on my own. By the way, people who say Penn doesn't know anything about fucking magic. You know something else?
Yeah.
No one fooled me.
That's right.
I did eight people. No one fooled me.
Eight up, eight down.
Yeah. Boom. Boom.
I was curious that we were getting to test the hypothesis when it happened.
Yeah. Everybody was. Everybody said, oh, Penn's alone. Everyone's a fooler.
I'm not going to lie. We didn't bring out the box of foolish trophies and just lined them up. Get it out of that closet. Let's have it nearby.
But I remember Andrew saying, we've got your notebook from that day, so we have all your notes, so you can just do the bus based on that. And he opened the notebook and said, it's the magician's first name, and then just grid patterns for the whole page. I said, yeah, that reminds me of what I was thinking. He said, what were you thinking? I said, does it remind me now?
Didn't they have to go back and just find what you said and take notes on it?
They had to go back and go back to the video.
The video and take notes on it.
Luckily, they recorded it. And they took notes and came back and said, this is the Dylan reference you did. This is the obscure zoology reference you did. And this is the insane tangent you went on highway pylons. Do that again, but do it shorter. And then Teller sat there. This is where you smile and nod, Teller.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a silent act using things in space so you didn't cry.
Did they have the pen with the four colors?
No, but that's what Hondro uses.
That's my favorite one.
Hondro uses a pen with four colors. Hondro's a notebook nut.
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
That's my kryptonite, because I can't stop flicking I can't stop selecting different colors just to get that click.
Hondro has two notebooks.
Yeah.
And every day he writes a magic idea in one notebook and a movie idea in another. And then he has shoe boxes full of them, because they wear shoes sometimes in Spain. Shoe boxes full of them, full of these notebooks.
Yeah.
And Hondro, when he's doing notes for our show, which he does, bastard.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're right. Fuck you. That's all I ever say to Hondro after his notes. He has his little notebook.
Yeah.
And you look at his little notebook, and all four colors are used. So I was really interested. I said, what do the colors mean? Like, do you have if it's a magic thing, is it red? And if it's a comedy thing, is it green?
Right.
And if it's, a stage thing, is it blue? And if it's a general comment, is it black? Mm-hmm. That's the way I would do it. And Hondro said, no, when I get sick of writing in one color, I write in another. Wouldn't you think you would use a key?
Yeah.
He insists on four color pens.
Right.
It's all he'll use in his notebooks. And I look through his notebooks, and they're all different colors all the way through.
And just for no reason.
No reason that he knows.
That's bizarre.
Maybe there's a little parasite in his ant brain that's controlling that, but I don't know. Make him do things no sane ant would do.
That's weird.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing 20 shows of Fool Us.
Yes.
20 closures of Fool Us. And Hondro, I talked to Hondro the other day, and Hondro said, I'm not going to be on Fool Us this year. And I said, Hondro, the past 2 years you've said that, and then you show up, and we're not surprised at all. He said, well, you're not going to be surprised this time because I'm not showing up. I said, Hondro, I can't believe you because you've lied to me. You're the Spaniard who cried Fool Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and Teller were not fooled at all.
Not in the least. Goodbye. He hugged us.
Goodbye. I was part of the goodbye.
I'm on my way to the airport.
I've never seen you two less emotional saying goodbye to Hondro than he was saying goodbye to you guys. And he was a fine actor.
He acted perfect.
He did really well.
Goodbye. I've got my suitcases. Yeah. Here I go to the airport. I'm getting in the limo now. Here, won't ever see you again. Not soon, certainly. I guess it'll be, next year in Jerusalem. But I'm, yeah. And then he was there the next day, fooling us. So he told me he's not going to be there this year. And he's going to be in Denmark with his family.
Oh.
And he said there was one day I could make it, and I'm just not going to do it. And I said, Hondro, you know Helen Coughlin will be there. And you've each won 5 trophies. You know she will come and win the 6th. You know that. And Hondro said, it bothers me. And I said, here's what you're going to do, Hondro. We will set up a feed to you in Denmark. And we'll set up a special earpiece with you. You watch Helen Coughlin in Denmark, then you tell me how it's done. And then she doesn't get her 6th trophy. We have 20 closers.
Yes.
Which means when you watch the next seasons of Fool Us, you will notice some of the closers are 2 minutes long. Because,
It's fun. There's always like a trick you can do at home element of it.
We're not doing one of those this year. Shut up.
A trick with the host.
Yeah. Because we have a new host. We have Buck. She's our new host.
Yeah.
And we're doing some nice stuff with her. I hope she. We're hoping that she will be, she's no longer jaded we have her, we pretty much have her magic virginity.
Yes.
I mean, because she, as a attractive, successful woman, I don't think has ever seen a magic trick.
Right.
No interest whatsoever. And now is hosting her show.
Or if she has seen the magic, then she's already been on stage for a magic trick.
She has never seeked out.
Yeah. I had a friend who has a very attractive wife. He's like, I don't like going to magic shows because they always bring me on stage. And I don't know why. I just don't want to go. But I guess they see that. And so they want to pick on me. And I was like, nope, that's not why. That is not why.
I will actually avoid picking people who are too attractive to be right on stage. It bothers me. It just seems like, no, everybody knows you're picking a person that's too attractive. And just don't do that.
I agree. I've even seen Piff accidentally pick up someone who's like a hot, super hot model, and it's just, and he just suffers because of it. And it actually ends up being very funny, but like he just does not want to deal with someone who's super hot on stage.
It's much better to have just someone who's an actual everybody the audience relates to.
Yes,
you want to get right there in the pocket.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't resist. I'd like to see that person up closer and very well lit. And I wonder if that clothing becomes transparent from a certain angle under very strong stage lights. I want to find that out. And sometimes it does, you know.
That's distracting.
Have you had that happen?
No, but I've had, I've been distracted by someone being attractive. Both men, male and female, doesn't matter. Sure. Super hot and charming.
Sure.
It really does make you forget where you're going.
There are certain dresses and shirts that when they're hit very strongly with a front light and you're standing to the side, you get the vision that-
TSA version.
Yeah. Ben Badgley's father saw while he was squeezing the ball, if you know what I mean.
Wait, did we finish the point you're making about your new bosses?
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm going to bring it right around. That's what I used to love about watching Buddy Hackett.
Yeah.
Buddy Hackett's act was he would start telling a joke at the beginning, then he would digress for like an hour and 5 minutes and come back to that joke.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
It was very good.
But I was going to come back around in a more circuitous way. Anyway.
Then continue.
We're going to do 20 shows, and we'll be on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're using her for a lot of stuff because we figure she's brand new.
Yeah.
And maybe she's not. It wasn't that. I mean, Allison stayed really interested and never jaded.
No.
But you knew in the back of her mind she was going, is it going to be another top change? I don't know.
Yeah, if I'm not supposed to look at it, then you already know what it is.
Yeah.
Little things like that.
But bark, we should be able to fool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have 20 shows to do.
You're going to shoot some stuff without an audience?
Shh. Audiences are expensive now.
Yeah.
And audiences are also dangerous and stuff, COVID and so on.
Yeah.
So we are, audiences are really expensive. Isn't that amazing? You know, our show costs like, what, $80 to see it. And you can come to see Fool Us for free.
Yes.
Absolutely for free.
Yeah.
And yet it's hard to get an audience. Because it's in the afternoon and they may have to sit there for a while. And so it's hard to get. Then you have to find someone to wrangle them. You have to have someone out front. You have to have someone to keep them amused in between. It's expensive.
Yeah.
So they have now looked at the camera shots. And they figured out exactly in my wide shot and my close-up how many people you could see in the background. And those are the exact seats they're filling. Isn't that great?
Yes.
So if the cameraman happens,
movie make. It's the cameraman happens
to pull back just a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing a great trick with a cameraman, too. You were there for that, weren't you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do a trick for a cameraman, which I think will be really funny. And we got a lot of good stuff. I'm surprised, really, because this is season whatever. They're calling it 10. I call it 11. Yep. It's actually 12.
Right.
That many seasons, we should be scraping the bottom of the barrel.
No, it's not.
The and the bottom of the barrel, there's some good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of this season. I mean, we'll see when we shoot it. Maybe I'll suck when you're in front of the camera.
No, but I still remember the first meetings where we were like, all right, we got to have 20 closure meetings. You have to 21 or 22 ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, this is going to be a dark meeting. This is going to be a tough one. We'll mm-hmm. start off good, and then we'll start counting and feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started counting, and everyone still felt good. And
it was 28.
Like, yeah. You actually were like, let's eliminate some. Yeah. And I was like, what?
We were 28. We were 28 bits
yeah.
that we really liked. And we've gotten 3 ideas since then.
Right.
So we got the next season almost done.
Yeah.
We're very, very happy with it. And I'm also doing something, you know, season whatever, 3 or 4 seasons ago, I was writing stuff and putting it on prompter. And both Teller and Andrew were yelling at me, saying, when it's on prompt, you're just not as good.
Mm.
It's better when you're making it up as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looser and wilder and all that. So nothing's on prompter this year. Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
That's
so I'll be looking when you see me looking at the camera.
Yeah.
I'm not reading over your face as you're sitting at home. I'm looking out at you.
All right.
So I got, you know, Fool Us is going. And I guess
I like that adjustment a lot, by the way.
What's that?
I like that adjustment. You're not reading off prompter.
Yeah, it's better than it.
Yeah, yeah.
But boy, prompter makes everything so much less tense.
And you're also good at it, which is a different thing. If you were straight like host, if you were Buckmark, then yeah. then prompter your face off, you're very good at it. But I understand the performance energy. I do like the idea of it.
Also, you come up with different stuff, and
yeah.
I say different.
You things. React more, and
yeah, I tend to be able to make shit up.
Yeah.
We'll be doing that, and I don't know how they found 20 shows worth of Foolers, but I guess they're digging around.
A lot of kids this year. A lot of kids with your magic kit.
Oh, but they're so cute.
Just you know, I don't know how many different ways you can code paddle. But
is the ball and vase going to fool you guys again? Remember, we had one. I'm not going to say the name, and don't you say it either. We had one guy on.
Yeah.
Who was so bad he fooled us. Remember that?
I do.
He was so shitty
yeah.
that we couldn't believe he was doing it the way we thought he was doing it. So we thought he'd come up with something new.
Yeah. This person was trying to do sleight of hand, and in rehearsals was doing it super fast, but with about a 50% hit ratio of being able to pull off the super fast move.
Yeah.
So when the time came to do it on stage, he slowed it down tremendously. And so basically just did something right in front of your face that was stupid.
And we knew exactly how it was done. And so did the entire audience. And it became it so very, slow. Very meta.
Yes, it was very meta.
Because we said, well, it couldn't be that.
Yeah.
So it must be this.
That person is why I went on the show. I'm doing a show that these guys definitely know and help me out with. They might think I'm double bluffing like that guy. That's my only shot at fooling you was that.
Yeah, and Teller did that once with a wrist chopper, too.
Yes.
And I said, Teller, it's a fucking wrist chopper. And finally, they actually had to cut it out because I finally went, Teller, shut up. It's a motherfucking wrist chopper. Because he was going all the way around the barn because it was painted differently.
Yeah, no, that magicians in the, were going nuts on that. Like, this is a trick that everyone has done. Why is it on Fool Us? But that magician is a good guy. I know him. He's up in Canada.
Yeah.
He gave him 3 things, and that was on his tape, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I kill with this, but they're not going to want this because it's a wrist chopper routine. Yeah. And Fool Us was like, we really like you. You do a good job with that routine.
Yeah.
And he's like, really? So he felt self-conscious going on the show with it.
And then Teller was deliberating forever. I said, Teller, it's a wrist chopper. I don't think so. He's got something going. That's not the way it's. I don't think it's the way it's normal. He didn't chop his wrist. It's the way it's normally done. It's a wrist chopper, you stupid motherfucker.
It's a good looking one. It's really shiny and fancy.
And they were saying in the ear, listen to Penn. Just listen to Penn.
So the double bluff has come up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Double bluff has come up.
Okay.
But this time with we will have a... Yeah. I'm excited about this season.
Yeah. I mean, you really are doing tricks that you've already put a bunch in your show.
Yeah, there's 6 in the show.
Yeah.
And they're good.
And that's the thing is like you've put like 6 staples in your show. Like it's just crazy that this is, it's really cool how much cool stuff you come up with. And yeah, and even your new ideas that you haven't even done yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
seem like they'd be very, like, I'd be excited to see it do.
Yeah. And one of the reasons the stuff's gotten better is Hondro. Hondro yes. flew out twice and helped write with us. And you helped too.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't ever invent stuff for you guys. I help shape perspectives and angles and stuff like that, writing angles, stuff like that, but I don't invent.
And we're doing another one that you will be, we're doing the same trick again.
Okay.
The same premise of doing a big stage illusion impromptu.
Yes.
So we're going to need you to help, and me, and we're having Mark Wilson's granddaughter on.
Oh,
Mark great. Wilson's, you know, Mark Wilson, who's one of the most famous magicians in the history of the United States,
yeah.
on TV a lot. Greg Wilson, his son, is bringing us a prop to use. That's Mark Wilson's prop. Mark Wilson's granddaughter is going to be the person in the prop because Mox will be in Edinburgh.
Oh, man.
Mox in Edinburgh doing the show.
Right.
So I can't use Mox. So we're using Mark Wilson's granddaughter. Isn't that very pretty wonderful?
Cool. Yes.
Pretty wonderful.
That is very nice.
That's good. Yeah. So, yeah, we are not touched by the strike.
Yeah.
Reality and game shows are not touched by the strike,
yes.
which is how I was able to go on.
Title redacted for non-disclosure agreement.
I thought you're not supposed to talk
about. And I can't talk at all. About
title still redacted for an NDA.
I think I'm not even supposed to say.
I'm almost positive you're not supposed to.
I was on.
Eh, you get it.
I'm almost positive there's an email chain that discussed that you cannot say what you're saying. Right
this
now.
Is season two. Because in season two, I'm not following NDAs. Unlike season one, when I didn't follow NDAs. But fool us.
Yeah.
Is somehow, you know what we did? We even baited them.
Yeah.
We called the unions.
Yeah.
And said, Penn and Teller are SAG and they're WGA and is SAG.
Yeah.
Can we do the show? Yep. Are you sure we can do the show? Yep. We're going to do the show. Good.
You know, and in all honesty, I think, you know.
We called Fran Drescher herself.
Did you really?
No.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, game shows have not been a part of it. I've explained this to other people, too. CW, fantastic people, are not the biggest players of the producers.
Right. The major battle is against Netflix and Apple.
Yeah. I'd say if Fool Us were strictly a Max show or Netflix or Amazon, then maybe somebody might ask you to do something.
No, but not game shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and whatever it was.
whatever show that was.
Whatever show that was. They are they're a big show.
Yeah.
And no one's giving them shit.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Do you have a plan of capturing the likenesses of Foolers and using them in perpetuity?
No.
In fact, you just said audiences are expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which made everybody in the producers part go like, see?
So I was perfectly prepared. If they had said when we talked to them, no, we'd rather you didn't. We were gonna, you know,
yeah.
Can't take me. I'm sticking with the union. I'm saying, I Woody Guthrie. This machine kills fascists. I was all ready to do that, but they don't. They told, don't bother.
Yeah.
Should Penn and Teller? We don't give a fuck. Go do your stupid little show. No. We got Matt Damon. Okay, fuck you. You could go work. As far as we're concerned, yeah. Penn and Teller, you're baristas. We know you're in our union, but we don't pay any fucking attention. Okay,
yeah.
Pay your dues. Shut up. Do whatever you want.
Yeah,
they're not trying to get us on the picket line. They don't give a fuck about us.
No.
And that's also good because CW doesn't give a fuck about us. And
hi, we're calling to confirm we're as invisible as we feel.
And the Rio doesn't give a fuck about us. Penn and Teller putting out entertainment for almost 50 years with only audiences caring. No one in the industry at all. When we were on Broadway,
yeah,
people would say to me, do you know anybody on Broadway? You know,
yeah,
did you meet any Broadway stars? Well, I'm on Broadway.
Or, and maybe this is too much, or maybe when Glenn would call someone involved with the Tonys to be like, hey, you doing the Tonys about this year's hits on Broadway? We were a hit on Broadway. And they would go like, yeah, but you didn't sing.
Yeah. It was amazing. The Tonys were amazing. We were like incredibly successful three seasons on Broadway. Yeah. And the Tonys went, I don't know. It's Penn and Teller. Are they? I mean, okay. What Penn and Teller are in, they're in a Broadway theater.
Sure.
They're not a Broadway show. you know, they sell cookies at Starbucks. It's not coffee. You can't call the cookies coffee.
Yeah.
What's wrong with we always that's been Glenn's whole. And you know, do you know that they would not even for the Emmys?
Yeah.
We would be up for awards for bullshit every fucking year, and it would be like, oh yeah, you're nominated, but you don't have to come because you're not going to win. You know, everybody else, they kind of keep you in the dark.
And they want you to show up, and they want you to sit in seats. And
sure, sure. So I was, when we did the Emmys one year, we had to go. I said, we're not going to win. They want you sitting there.
Yeah.
Okay. And Dr. Stockdale, Gary Stockdale, great musician.
Yeah.
He was directing the band for the Emmys. Okay.
Yeah.
So he had a headset on that was giving him director chatter.
Yeah.
Because they had to say, okay, and now band, right? He had to have the music all ready and the downbeat all set, ready to go, and they were going to cue him. So he was hearing all the chatter. Now, Gary's a good friend of mine, great musician, great keyboard player, great singer. He was hearing all the chatter. And he told me after the show, they said, okay, I want a celebrity reaction shot. Who he got? And one cameraman said, I've got Penn and Teller. I got a shot of him. And the director said, okay, we're going to take that. And no, we're not going to take that. He looks like he doesn't give a shit. This was when we were nominated.
Yeah.
I was in the audience not giving a shit.
You were such a good actor. You're pretending not to give a shit.
Like the Emmys are going to say, and the winner is bullshit. That's what they say every single time. It's just they don't use that word. So we got beat by, I mean, this was way back in the bullshit days. Of course, bullshit wasn't that long ago because we did eight seasons of it.
Yeah.
But we were beat every year by a Queer Eye First Street guy.
Okay.
Queer Eye beat us.
At least now, then they watched a lot of shows and nominated different shows. Now the Emmys are like, there's so many shows. We're just going to watch six and nominate six. Ted Lasso, whatever's on HBO.
Yeah. Succession.
And
we're done.
Last of Us. I don't know if we're going to watch anything else.
No, then we won't bother. And Fool Us, they didn't bother sending anything to the people who were nominating. Just didn't even bother.
Trying to win the award.
Yeah. Glenn just said, they're not going to. Fuck that. And yet, you know, they talk about like Tucker Carlson and these really influential people.
Yeah.
You know that twice as many people watch Fool Us.
Yes.
Actually, twice as many people.
Yeah.
And in different demographics watch the show. We have very, very good ratings. And yet, the television industry, all together as one, took out a billboard and said, Penn and Teller, face it, we don't give a shit. We don't fucking care about anything you do.
I think they're like, you guys are really nice to everyone. You're nice to your crew. All the contestants seem to generally have a good time on the show. You don't purposely celebrate failures for ratings to go into commercial breaks.
Yeah, we don't do that. Boy, did they push us the first season to do that. Penn really ripped someone apart. I mean, you did that on Bullshit. You should do that on Fool Us.
You know, and even still, honestly, because I go back and watch a lot of the other episodes, you're more pointed. Like, your code is improved,
mm-hmm.
and you're reminder to compliment first and then bust second has improved. In the first seasons, you do kind of have a little bit more of some cutting remarks with the British season.
Yeah. The British season, they were really pushing me on.
Really pushing me.
And I had a fight against it. Now I've gotten a little more power. Unfool us.
Yeah.
Unfool us.
That's it. End of power jurisdiction. Not at home?
No. No. I can't even control the temperature of my house.
I was laughing because I'm feeling your pain.
Yeah. The thermostat.
Yeah.
If I adjust the thermostat, it stays that way for 20 seconds.
Yeah. No. I said to my wife, I said, so it's 80 in here, and that's because that's where the thermostat is at. Is that by design? Is what I said.
Mine's the opposite problem. It's 68 in here.
Oh.
Why are we wearing parkas?
Oh, yeah, the opposite
problem. I mean, are we trying to bring America to its knees?
No, I don't want 68 either.
No.
I don't think I'm a crazy person for wanting 77.
I would like 77.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, guys like us are never going to get 77.
No.
No. Never going to. Let me tell you, I could be driving my car and not have control.
That's just against culture. That's anti-American.
I'm so hot in here. Turn up the air conditioning. You're in the back fucking seat. I'm driving. I should have control over all the controls. None. No, no. You can have accelerator.
Yeah.
You can have brake. You can have steering wheel. You can have turn signals. Nothing else. Yeah. You don't get the radio.
Yeah.
You don't get the thermostat. You don't get jack shit.
Sun visor, TBD. Maybe. Maybe sun
visor. So it's big sign, Penn and Teller, show business doesn't give a shit, and neither does your family. Shut up. So, Skydance, this big company. Bum, 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 bum.
That's a and five.
They got the Reacher. They got the Reacher movies and everything. They're just really Breaking Bad and shit. I mean, they're really, really, really good.
Yes.
Well, they're making a deal with me for Random.
This is out there.
They loved the book Random. They loved it. And they want to make it into a show.
That's so cool.
So I'm in Los Angeles, right, to do a reading of a play that I wrote. I wanted to hear the words read aloud. Mm-hmm. Boy, they're good actors. Oh,
yeah.
They're just good actors. I mean, you give these actors a script, you give them overnight to look at it.
Yeah.
Just overnight to look at it. That's all they've got. They go with their little highlighters, okay, little highlighters like this, and you see them going, what all actors do, bullshit, 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 my line, bullshit, 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 my line, okay? And this is a play that I wrote with Gary Coleman, who's a great improv person, great actor. It's for two women, two moms, and their two daughters. Four people on stage. That's it. And they did a reading. Oh, they were so good. I was sitting there going, just do them. Put them on stage.
Yeah.
We don't need to rehearse or anything. Memorize that shit and do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're crazy good. And also because Carrie Coleman is... you know, she's part of the whole Hollywood thing. There's a billboard that says, Gary Coleman, show business cares a little bit about you.
Oh.
Unlike Penn and Teller.
Please don't work and do podcasts.
We had like people you see on TV doing these readings. A reading like upstairs at a theater for like three people. That's all that we're watching. It was so fucking good. And the play isn't bad. I was kind of surprised. I guess maybe because Carrie wrote most of it.
Sure. Have you told us what it's about?
I haven't yet. I will one of these days. But I can tell you the final line of the play. The final line of the play, because I wrote the final line of the play. Fuck you in the neck. That's the final line. That's the final line of the play.
In that case, I could have seen that play without knowing you wrote it. Knowing you wrote it.
So... I'm meeting.
Scramble to the back of the theater and be like, I will take a playbill.
I was in LA.
Yeah.
So the Skydance people said, let's get together. let's have lunch.
Yeah.
Let's have lunch at the Sunset Marquee, which is where I stay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice. They were really, and they, I don't think it's because of me, but they improved the menu.
Oh.
Many more vegan-friendly things. Very good. Still potato chips are really good.
Good.
They took potato chips off the menu. They had homemade potato chips.
Yeah.
I said, what the fuck are you doing? Then potato chips came back on the menu. I'm not sure it's me.
You can't be the only person who demanded those delicious chips return.
No, no. I bumped into Deadmau5 at the Sunset Marquee.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a lot of trouble recognizing people, but he's covered with tattoos.
Yeah.
And he's Deadmau5.
Yeah.
So Deadmau5.
Well, he's tall too, isn't he?
Yeah. Deadmau5 is someone that people call by their real name all the time.
Mm.
Not
no.
me. Not me. Deadmau5.
Yeah.
Deadmau5 comes up and I make a joke to him. Now, Deadmau5 is a superstar. And when Deadmau5 plays a record, hits a button to hit play,
yeah.
okay, he makes more money than you're going to make in your life.
That's true. That is true.
I believe that's actually literally true.
I believe that's 100% true.
When he is at the Sunset Marquee, that's a big deal, right? So I said to him, because he's Canadian, and when I talked to him on a Zoom call working, he did our opening.
Yes.
When I talked to him on that, he had the biggest cup of Tim Horton coffee I'd ever seen.
Oh, Timmy Hortons.
Now, it's very possible he's fucking with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. That's how successful he could be fucking with me. I don't think so.
Right.
I said to him, well, you're at the Sunset Marquee down here in the United States. You miss your Tim Horton coffee? He said, no, the Sunset has a coffee maker in my room, and they bring in Tim Horton coffee for me. I don't think he was kidding.
I don't think he was kidding.
No, I don't think he was kidding at all. Probably even has, you know, maple-dipped stuff in his room.
Yeah.
But the Sunset Marquee.
And Canadians will tell you that Tim Horton's quality's gone down. You know what, Canada? So has everyone else's. It's still better than everyone else. Yeah.
By the way, I don't have in my room Tim Horton's coffee,
yeah.
but I do have carbonated water they put there for me. They put a humidifier there for me, and there's usually a little bit of fruit and hummus.
I think a super high-end hotels, if you say, like, I don't like the color of this room, they will paint it if you're gone, right? Mm-hmm. And then they just charge it to you.
Yeah.
Right. So Deadmau5 has already paid for it. You know that Tim Horton's already exists on property.
Yeah.
So you can get Tim Hortons without paying what he pays for it.
It's probably true. Give me a little bit of that Deadmau5 coffee. Yeah. I could probably knock at his door and ask for a cup.
Yeah.
But I don't drink caffeine.
No.
I don't like to spend too much time with Canadians. So I am meeting with the Skydance people.
Mm-hmm.
Who, this is weird. I'm uncomfortable with this. I like them.
You got along with them right away.
Yeah. I like both of them. I really like them. And I think it may be because the book wasn't sold to them, but they bought it. You know what I mean?
They
read the book on their own time. They bought the book.
Yeah.
Then decided they wanted to buy the book. I mean, they bought the book to read, then decided they wanted to buy the book to put on TV. I like them. They're really nice. I make really good jokes.
Well, it's fascinating because you pitched this idea just straight up without a book.
Right.
And people are like, I don't know, Penn. You can work. We don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Keep doing your little show.
Keep doing your little show. We don't care.
Yeah, don't try to get into our show business. Because we don't.
I'm in your show business.
Do your little game show. Do your little magic show. I was on Broadway with my little
sure.
three
you
times.
You met anyone who sang on it? Because that's all I care about.
But we had the most successful show on Showtime.
I watched the Tonys that year, didn't see you.
Yeah, we had a real successful show.
On Showtime?
Showtime, yeah.
Okay, cool. Let me know when you've been nominated for an Emmy, then come talk to me.
No, we've been nominated for...
Well, then when you win one then, okay? I don't care.
But we won an Emmy, but no, it was way better. Yeah.
Thanks so much. We're not...
Fool Us is the longest running show. It's the longest
running... We're getting rid of the chips here. They're not coming back.
It's the longest running magic show on American TV in history.
Okay. We don't care. We don't care. Sorry. I was trying to think of creative ways to say it. We don't care. We don't care.
But, you know, our ratings are bigger than Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Here, watching the same two billboards at every bus stop in Los Angeles as you drive up and down. Cahuenga.
I'm meeting with them,
yeah. right?
And they are really excited. They know the book inside out.
Mm.
They're really ready to go. And I said, so? And they went, we wanted to have lunch with you and just tell you how excited we are and that there's a strike.
Oh,
I said, yeah,
right.
I know there's a strike. And they said, and we are honoring it completely, which everybody is, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
No one's cheating.
Yeah.
And they said, so we can't do anything. And I said, oh, great. Have you tried these potato chips? And then we sat for an hour and a half.
Tim Hortons.
We know where it is.
I have a secret.
Yeah. Zimmerman's got him up in his room. Really nice meeting. But yeah, we can't do anything.
Nothing.
They were not on the, well, I can't talk about what their political position is.
Right.
That would be really wrong on this show. I can't do it.
I'll say that. I know. I remember when the first writer strike came up, I was at a wedding with a friend of mine who is a producer of a bunch of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about it in front of him. There's so many writers in the room. This might be awkward. And he was completely on the writer's side. And I was like, oh, I'm an idiot. He likes his friends. And like, not everybody's supposed to line up the way you think they're supposed to line up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. And I do not understand the situation at all.
No.
And I think if they told us that we should strike, yeah, I might read more than just the New York Times. All I've read is I've read every article the New York Times has about the strikes, but that's all.
No, then when the actors came in, they kind of start talking about how it might be larger than you think.
Uh-huh.
You know, that like, say, hey, Amazon runs a lot of industries, and if they give in to one union, that might empower another, and things like that. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, is this really bigger than just writer? Is this really bigger than Hollywood and that kind of stuff?
But you know what I worry about, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that how they always tell you that every election for president is the most important one in history?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was the one that was the most important one in history, and we fucked that up. No, I don't know if they'd never said it before,
right,
if we would have done it right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just know that when my father was alive,
yeah,
Trump wouldn't be president.
No.
That takes a dipshit like me. You know,
yeah,
I'm the one that's in the pocket, right? Old people run the world.
Yeah,
I'm 68. Mm. I ran the when we became president. I was what, 65?
Yeah.
When my dad was 65, someone like Trump wouldn't have been president. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I think we're being run by dipshits, and when I say dipshits, I mean me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because I was laughing with my wife because, like, I can't even escape. Like, I look at TVs and movies, and all I can think about is the strike and my friends that are heavily involved.
Well, of course, the ones, I mean, this has been said 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But the ones that are really getting fucked are the working actors.
Yeah.
That aren't superstars.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, they say like 83% of the people, people in SAG-AFTRA don't have medical insurance through SAG-AFTRA. You have to make $26,000 a year on SAG-AFTRA projects to qualify for it. So the majority of people, and that was definitely me for many years, where I just made, you know, 10 grand here, 12 grand there, whatever, just working, gigging, finding some stuff to do, but never quite getting over that hump.
Mm-hmm.
It's not spoiled Tom Cruise we're worried about.
And if your family,
yeah,
if your family is headed by two actors who are both working and doing well,
yeah,
Now you've got a family that's having trouble getting money.
Yeah, that's the part that breaks my heart. There are people that are going to end up leaving Los Angeles.
But I will tell you, if you want a good male prostitute in Los Angeles, yeah, now's the time.
Now's the time.
Now's the time to strike. It is a buyer's market. I'm telling you that right now.
It's, yeah.
At the Sunset Marquee.
Yeah.
Send the potato chips to my room. Dead Mouse and I'll be there. We'll bring the Tim Hortons coffee.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we'll see. I hope that cooler heads prevail sooner rather than later, but I don't, it's really hard when you, these giant companies, it's Apple, right? We're not dealing with, back in the day, you're dealing with, like, you know, Warner Brothers and Paramount, you know? Apple.
You're dealing with the biggest company in the world, right? Isn't Apple close to that?
Yeah, Apple is, and then Amazon's up there too, and they
we'll wait them out.
They're
security guard too can wait out Apple.
That's tough. These companies have other income flows, you know. It's going to be weird. It's going to be strange.
A person that I talked to is very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say who it is because it's well known, but said, I'm an optimist. I say end of the year.
Ugh. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, if that's the case, I mean, that's it. I know people who won't, I know people who have to sell their houses and move. If that's the case.
Fuck. Fuck.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's also, you know how good TV's been lately?
Yeah.
That ain't going to be true.
No. No. Sure not. It sure isn't.
I didn't even know they had the entire archives of Adam 12.
Maybe I will watch those old Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Mayberry RFD had some funny moments.
Yeah. I don't know.
Huh. They're doing a big push on The Sopranos.
I just know me personally, when I really sat down and were like, this live entertainment thing, the ceiling's not the same ceiling as LA, but the floor sure seems comfy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, you're working.
I'm working.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
If show business does not give a shit about Penn & Teller, they don't even know that they don't give a shit about Matt Donald.
That's 100% true. That's 100% true.
There's a billboard saying, huh?
Yeah. He's playing Stroudsburg, PA, is he?
We're going to bring Apple to its knees. Speaking of which, where are you playing there, Matt Donnelly?
Yeah, I'm playing. Surprisingly, people are not haven't bought tickets yet to my Philadelphia shows of Smoke and Mirrors. That seems weird. So just let me just be very clear that I'm playing Philadelphia Smoke and Mirrors end of July. Go there. All my dates are at mynoodler.com. The rest of them are selling pretty well.
Philly is not backing you?
I think it's because it's the last weekend of July, and I think a lot of people do other things in the summertime.
Yeah, but Philly.
I know.
That's where we started.
Exactly.
That's where we started. That's
weird.
I think the problem is that people see S&M on the club, and they get all excited, and they find out it's a magic club, and they're really sad and disappointed.
Yeah. But Kent Island, Maryland, that's sold out. Capitol Hilton, Washington, D.C., that's on the 28th. Smoke and Mirrors on the 29th. Come see those things. I'm also going to be playing Tahoe again, Lake Tahoe at the Boathouse Theater on August 22nd.
And you're also pretty good now, right?
I'm proud of the show I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're good.
Yeah.
I hear back all the time that you're great.
Yeah.
I haven't seen your show since the time Piff and I saw it. And Piff said afterwards, whoa, magic is hard.
Yeah. If improving from that is considered good, then you've certainly, I'm not cutting my hand open and my tricks work. So. It's a big improvement on those ends.
Well, David Blaine's still doing very well, just hurting himself.
That's true. I shouldn't sell myself short.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy. I really love it. I think as a kid, I always dreamed of stand-up, you know, but it's the stand-up thing is brutal. So hats off to good stand-up comedians. It's so brutal to try to get more than 10 minutes somewhere. You have to go out every night. And so as a father of two, magic's something you can rehearse at home. Stand-up's very hard to rehearse at home.
Mm-hmm. The cat thinks I'm funny.
So to be able to put the shows together and rehearse and stuff like that and work on new bits and plus, honestly, the whole magic community thing. It's very rare that I can't find someone who's an expert on the trick that I'm working on and get them, reach out to them and have them not give me time and advice on something I'm working on. Magicians work with each other all the time that way. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how much magicians love helping out other magicians. And the answer is the dirty secret is there's enough work. There's enough work out there.
You can
work and I can work, and it doesn't come up very often that we can't both work.
Yeah.
And that's the strangest thing that I did not understand at all getting into it. But it's really neat. So yeah, I get to work really hard on my show. And we joke all the time, but I think people who are successful in show business on any level have a level of obsession. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize I'd really figured out as much as I could for me improv. You know, I remember taking a workshop with this guy. I won't name him, but because he's an amazing improviser, amazing improv teacher, legendary. And all of a sudden, we're doing this really weird workshop, and he's talking to us about like sociological principles and psychological principles, and we're exploring these really weird, specific avenues of improv. And it's very artsy and different, and got crazy results and stuff. But I was like, this isn't for the stage. This isn't for entertaining people. This is to explore it on an academic level, and that's not interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and so I said I never wanted improv to get to the point where it wasn't about just straight up entertaining people who put their butts in seats, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of didn't realize that I reached an end of that exploration until I started looking at magic, and I was like, oh wow, I it got my obsession brain turned back on in a great way.
It could be a while before you get that bottom deal
to exactly. There's so much out there that I know that I'll be just a student of it for a very, very long time.
It's a good thing.
What are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend? Oh, I'm doing a Good Morning America. What day?
Thursday,
I'm doing Good Morning America. Are we doing a trick? Do you know?
I don't know.
I've been trying to find that out. No one will tell me. But we might be doing a trick. We got a good trick for it. I just don't know if they want it.
And you've got Long Island on Friday?
We're playing Long Island on Friday. What venue? Tillis?
Tillis.
And then we're playing Washington, D.C., or outside of D.C., on Sunday, right?
MGM National Harbor.
MGM National Harbor, which has, you know what it has at the MGM National Harbor? A gate welded by Bob Dylan. I will be looking at that gate because it's Bob Dylan. But we're doing some stuff back east and Good Morning America. And then some also other TV. We're doing a Rolling Stone interview, long Rolling Stone interview. I don't know why Rolling Stone's interested in us now, but they are. Tillis Center Friday, MGM at DC on Sunday, Good Morning America on Wednesday. And
Thursday.
Wednesday, it's a long Good Morning America. And that's the Penn and Teller schedule.
Yeah.
And now this, now you've heard beginning of season two.
Yeah.
We really do need the Patreon people badly now.
Yeah. This is it. We are a Patreon podcast.
Just to keep the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
We're NPR now.
We're NPR now.
Yeah. So we don't do ads. We just beg.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to keep going. I like doing it. I love hearing people after the show tell me that they listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
I just feel automatically that they're friends. And our Patreon people have been very, very kind. Is there anything you have to explain to people that want to join the Patreon?
Yeah, right now you go to patreon.com/Penn. There are three different tiers. There are really two tiers and a third tier if you want to get like a cool video from Penn where you can send it to a loved one or a boss or to yourself or do whatever.
It could even be a fuck you to someone you hate.
Yeah, that's true. And then also on that, which we'll lean in more, we used to have people come on air.
Yeah.
And so now we'll maybe lean back into that a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm going to send out more, you know, my book reports.
Yes.
And I write book reports. I write little things up. Yeah. I sent short stories that got to them before anybody else when they bought the Random.
Yep.
They got books of short stories. And I'll give more pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah. And we just put up the pictures of you and him in Spain at that weird...
Tourists go away.
You're not welcome restaurant.
I wonder if we increase their business.
I would
love if anybody who listens to the podcast is going to that restaurant, please write in at questionpen@gmail.com. Let me know because I would really like that. Yeah. If someone else went there and had that experience, I'd like.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, I had success with Patreon on two different podcasts before this one. And then I was kind of noticing the way that podcast networks go. And I thought, how many times can that same pattern happen where it doesn't affect this podcast? And so I was very happy that it is Patreon. This could have been a time where we're taking a break and who knows what breaks mean. And instead we have Patreon.
And Matt Donnelly, you the one who saved this Matt Donnelly.
Yes.
There's a lot of them. This is Matt Donnelly, the mind noodler who saved Penn Sunday School.
Well.
Yes.
And everyone who signed up.
That was Penn Sunday School.
Patreon.com/Penn.
Patreon.com/Penn.
Yeah.
You become naked, cha cha cha. Yeah, Patreon.com/Penn. PENN. We're going to try to keep going. If we can keep going, that'd be great. I'd like that. And in a couple of weeks, I'll have really good stories about. Whatever.
Some show.
Some show.
With some hosts.
Yeah. That was Penn Sunday School. You know, we love you even more now. Everybody to thank there, Matt Dunn?
Yes, the fine people who are loyal members of the congregation over at patreon.com/Penn. Big thanks to Coach Rat Bastard, Harry Paratestis. I think I said that wrong. You can write me and correct it. Brian Curry, Jamie Swan, David, I'm going to finger your Kunt Brunner, Tristan Connett, Omar Rivera, Mason Gooch, Sagebrush, Matthew Mishu, Luke Mellon, Eileen Hunter, Jason Andrew Davidson, Peter B. Clark, Matt Williams, Soapy Fresh, Dan Griffith, Brad Sherlag, Mike Cavanaugh, Rafiki, Steve Feldman, Jonathan P., NewRuleFX.com, Eric M. Ryan, Krista Hatchby, Luke McKinney, Danny Insert Meta Joke Here Ruse, I'll get to that, Matthew O'Sullivan, Little Mandar, Acts Weird as Shit but is enjoyed by Joe Bethar Bowers, Adam Stickney, Nathan Julian, Christopher Harris, Petty Officer Scoop, Daniel, a couple of weeks old, but I wonder if the Pornhub magician is Chris Angel, David K, Blue Drinks Film says clear your cookies, baby, Brandon Knapp, Nick Dingman, Colin Durham, and because we only do one show a week now, this gets a little longer. Lancey Minshew, Stephen White, Michelle Yeiser, Broken Hastings, Placida Scott, Damian Martin, Adam Luce, Red Random, and he loved it. P.S. My cock and balls don't fit in the dice bag. Yet. I added the yet. Timo Tehoff, Mark Pickenheim, and Scott Kelly. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Really thank you. Now we really thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.